ऋत्वावत्सं सुराकनाम् इन्द्रं सोमाम् अदुदुहान् हिरण्मयेन पात्रेण वीर्यम् ओजो बलं भयः All the demigods made Indra, the king of heaven, into a calf. And from the earth they milked the beverage soma, which is nectar. Thus they became very powerful in mental speculation and bodily and sensual strength. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, the word soma means nectar. Soma is a kind of beverage made in the heavenly planets, from the moon to the kingdoms of the demigods in the various higher planetary systems. By drinking this soma beverage, the demigods become powerful mentally and increase their sensual power and bodily strength. The words Hiranmayena Patrena indicate that this soma beverage is not an ordinary intoxicating liquor. The demigods would not touch any kind of liquor, nor is soma a kind of drug. It is a different kind of beverage available in the heavenly planets. Soma is far different from the liquors made for demoniac people, as explained in the next verse. Today, we are reading from Canto 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 18, entitled Prithu Maharaj Milks the Earth Planet, text number 16. Today, let's find a sign for 1 hour. In this narration of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the merciful pastimes of Maharaj Prithu. Prithu Maharaj was born of King Bena. The symbolism of this particular narration is very important. In fact, what we learn from this chapter of these chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam can be of essential benefit for our spiritual lives. There was the king Anga, who was a very pious devotee who simply wanted to offer all of his activities in the loving service of the Lord. And he had a child for that purpose. But unfortunately, for various technical reasons that he did not take into consideration, he gave birth to a very, very cruel-hearted child. His name was Vena. He was the embodiment of sin. This little Vena, from his infancy, found his pleasure in being cruel to others. And as he grew older, he became more and more violent. When he was just a little boy, when he would play with his friends, it would be no fun unless he tortured them, made them scream in agony, and then he would kill them. That was his happiness. It's very interesting, because the spirit soul is part of Krishna. The spirit soul has an infinitesimal quantity, the qualities of Krishna. How could a spirit soul find joy in such demoniac activities? But when we turn our back away from God and look into the shadow of darkness, then we become influenced by these modes of material nature. And to what extent this desire for pleasure can be perverted. Anandamayo vyashat. Every living being is seeking pleasure. And the essence, the origin of all pleasure is the pleasure of love. When that desire to love Krishna becomes perverted, then we look for the pleasure in love in so many alternative ways. And through this process, the soul becomes so much entangled in illusion, so much bewildered by the modes of nature, that some people actually search for the propensity for ecstatic love of Krishna, for the ananda, the bliss of ecstatic devotion. They're looking for that pleasure in torturing and murdering others. It actually is intoxicating for one in the mode of ignorance to feel the power of control that other people's lives are within the hands of your whims. Hare Krishna. So this was Vena. So Maharaj Anga, he tried everything to make his son a nice devotee. But when he saw it was impossible, he suffered miserably. Can you imagine how embarrassing that must have been for him? To be the king of the planet and your son is a demon? So ultimately, Maharaj Anga realized this is Krishna's mercy. If I had a good son, I would be so attached to this material world, I would have never been able to extract myself from it. It's Krishna's blessing that I have the biggest demon in the whole world as my son. Now I have nothing. I have nothing to be proud of. I have nothing to live for in this world. My whole material life is finished by his influence. This is glorious. All I have is Krishna. And with a happy heart, he disappeared in the middle of the night into the forest to attain self-realization. Now, what are we to learn from this? That if we have a good child, we're cursed, and if we have a demoniac child, we're blessed? It seems that way. But what Bhagavatam is teaching us through this is not that. Because after all, Hiranyakashipu had a good child, and he thought he was cursed. And Anga had a bad child, and he thought he was blessed. Arivo. What Bhagavatam is teaching, it's great fortune to have a child that is a good, pious devotee. But what we should learn here is a Vaishnav, sees the opportunity to surrender in every situation. A Vaishnav is never disheartened by the environment. The temporary environment around us is always changing. Sometimes everything is very, very favorable according to our desires and our prayers. Sometimes it just seems Krishna's just answering all my prayers. And at other times, everything turns against us. Humiliation, disgrace. Oh, how Anga suffered that. Physical pain and misery. Failure in something we've given our life to succeed in. So many impediments. Even our devotional service. Anga was a devotee, just trying to do his service. Why? Why Krishna gave him a son like this? Very difficult. In whatever situation we're in, we make advancement if we have a positive outlook and see the opportunity for devotional service in that situation. Just like downstairs, there is translation going on. Because I'm speaking English, so the translation is in Hindi. Yes? Very well. So we must learn to be translators. We must learn to translate whatever happens in our life into a positive opportunity to surrender to Krishna. And factually, it's not just something theoretical or imaginary. Literally, every possibility there is an opportunity to make spiritual advancement, to come closer to God, to enter into the realm of eternal bliss. But do we see it? Do we want to see it? This is Vaishnav. One who is put in the most difficult testing situations and doesn't complain, doesn't give up, but moves forward with a grateful heart. Tate nukampam sushamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipagam ridvagva purvir vatatam namaste jivetya mukta pade sadaya bhak. This was one of Srila Prabhupada's most famous scriptural quotations. And it is one of the most famous of all of our, one of the most favorites of all of our previous acharyas. It's spoken by Lord Brahma, the acharya of our sampradaya. Why is it so important? Because unless we understand this verse carefully, there is every chance that the circumstances around us will distract us away from the path of true devotion. Because the fact is, whoever you are, wherever you are, however you're living, things will not always go your way. Materialistic people, if we read history or look around at the contemporary population of the world, even people who become so fabulously successful, there's always things that just happen in their lives that cripple their minds and their hearts. And unless they have a positive outlook, they're miserable. And for a devotee, this is ever more true. Krishna doesn't want his devotees to be spoiled children. Haribo. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child, it is said. If a parent spoils the child will be temporarily very happy, but his life or her life will be miserable. Because a spoiled child gets everything he or she wants, and therefore just expects for the rest of their life. They're conditioned to expect that they're going to get what they want, but they don't get what they want all the time. And it's very frustrating. But a child who knows how to suffer in the proper consciousness, not getting what want, then anything that happens in life, you're grateful. If you expect, then you're going to suffer. It's the law of nature. If you don't expect things, then you're grateful for whatever happens. If you do expect things, then whatever you get's not enough. And whatever you don't get, you think, why? How is this? Who has done this? Very well. So Lord Brahma prays, who is that person that is qualified for liberation? The person who, in the condition of great sufferings, when everything turns against that person, when the person is physically, mentally suffering, that person with a grateful heart folds his palms, bows his head, and thanks Krishna. That person could go back to Godhead. We're in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya, who's teaching Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy. Srimad Bhagavatam is Amalam Puranam. Kicks out all Kaitava Dharma, cheating propensities within religion. It's dealing only with unconditional devotion. That's our line. Therefore, our acharyas are teaching us how to achieve that. So Maharaj Anga, in the worst possible scenario, he accepted it as the grace of God. And what was the result? Because he accepted it as the grace of God, he perfected his life and went back to Godhead. His having a son like Vena was a positive opportunity for him to renounce the world and surrender unconditionally to Krishna. Now, if you have a good son, you can also see the positive opportunity in that and have the same result. But how? How to see the positive opportunity for pure devotional service in every situation? That is so nicely taught to us by Maharaj Anga. So he went back to Godhead. But the rest of us on earth had to deal with Vena as king. Very difficult situation. But actually, for those who wanted the opportunity, they would also go back to Godhead. The history of the world, there is oppressive dictators. Even in our present world today. Recently, I was in Russia, just 3 days ago. They told me, according to statistics, Stalin killed over 25 million people on record, and much more than that. Adivo. So he was a powerful person. So Vena, he was so powerful and so egoistic. And he was also a scholar of the Vedas. Now, the mixture of these various qualifications is very interesting. He actually knew the Vedas, but he interpreted them according to his own motivations. It says in the Vedas that the king is the representative of God and the demigods. Therefore, today, on the basis of Shastric knowledge, I outlaw any worship of any demigods. I outlaw any worship of any god. You must see me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no one can worship anyone except me. All temples must be my temples. Vena mandirs. And all mantras must be my name. Om Namo Bhagavate Venaya. Like that. He was a demon. And he was killing and he was torturing. The only good thing about him was all the dacoits and thieves were powerless because he was a bigger and better dacoit and thief. And he wanted no competition. So the Brahmins, they approached him and said, Vena, Prabhu, Maharaj, this is not proper what you're doing. It's not the scriptures. And he just threatened to destroy them. He was so arrogant. So they were powerful. They just chanted some mantras and Vena died. Arivo. Is that good news? Who thinks it's good news? Arivo. It was not good news. Because after, they should just use that curtain while they're using the door. Arivo. There's a curtain there, isn't there? That's what it's for. Huh? Curtain won't work, you sure? Try it. Ready. This is one of the technological achievements of Radha Gopinath. Very well. Have all of you seen that before? I have not seen before. Very well. Where was I?
Ah, Vena.
So Vena was, because when he was gone, there was no leadership. It is said a blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. So when there was no leadership, then all these rogues and thieves and dacoits who love to just exploit and overcome the innocent, they just went wild. And the innocent people were just being totally harassed. In fact, the dacoits were running around just plundering everybody so much that there was a constant cloud of dust in the air. So then the Brahmins were thinking, the nature of the world, the solution to the problem creates a bigger problem. That's material life. Prahlad Maharaj explained like that. The solution to the problems of this world on the material platform create bigger, more difficult problems to solve. There must be leadership. It's the nature of the world. Unless there's strong leadership, then people's minds and senses are exploited. Exploited by those who have, who are either lazy or cruel. Yadyaracharati sreshtas thad thad evitarojana. Whatever exemplary acts a leader does, the common people naturally follow. Srila Prabhupada, he specifically said on many occasions that the purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is to create leaders within the world, because the world needs leaders who have spiritual vision and spiritual discipline in their lives. So how to get another leader? There was no qualified leader on earth to be king of the world. And beside that, they are coming from a great, great dynasty of great kings. Dhruva Maharaj was one of their ancestors, yes? So they were thinking that in order to have a good leader, he has to be of this dynasty. And there's no one left in the dynasty except Vena. Now somehow or other, there was a good fortune for the Brahmins because of motherly love. Motherly love is very important. Motherly love saved the world in this instance. Because when Vena died, although every person on the entire earth hated him, there was one person who loved him. Who was that? Mother, Mataji. Because mothers don't see their own children with all this rational, logical discrimination. They see their child as their child. They may have that intelligence and that logic in their, but still, the heart of a mother, it loves the child. I'm not going to mention names, but recently I was in a place where one child, he did something that really disgraced the family. And the father just kicked him out, wouldn't even see his face. But the mother would secretly go and say, "What can I do? I'm following your father, but I love you. I want you to come home." And ultimately, due to the mother's affection, he changed. Not because of the father's discipline. Of course, the combination of the two was very effective, actually. One without the other, he probably wouldn't have changed. So she loved Vena. Although Vena was killing and murdering and being worshipped as God, mother still sees, I fed him milk from my breast. So she was attached. So she took his body. She was so attached to that body that she preserved it in preservative oils. It's a scientific method of preserving body in these oils. So his body was in perfect condition. So the Brahmins asked her permission to get the body. I guess they promised her a nice grandchild. So she accepted. And they churned the body of Vena. And first Bahuka came out. He was the personification of all the sinful conditions of Vena. And then they continued to churn with mantra,
and Prithu Maharaj and his beloved consort Arachi appeared.
This is very important.
Out of the worst condition, the most glorious benediction was manifested. Out of the most terrible curse of earth came the greatest benediction to all human society. From the most terrible situation in the world came supreme auspiciousness. From the darkness of Vena came the brilliant, effulgent life, light of Prithu Maharaj. The Brahmins knew the art of making something good out of something bad, making something glorious out of something disgraceful, making something auspicious out of something terribly inauspicious. That is a Brahman. And we must be Brahmins in that way of intelligence if we actually want to make real progress in spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada did like that. Whatever happened in his life, he just saw the positive opportunity, even the most inauspicious things. Just like Anjaladuta, M.V. Jaladuta. When Srila Prabhupada came from in Calcutta, he was unknown. Five people came to see him off as he boarded Jaladuta. Bhagavati, an old friend, one of the agents of the Scindia steamship lines, Mr. Ali, Gupta Sain, and his son, Vrindavan Chandra. That's all. Then he had those heart attacks. Then he was in poverty. Now those things are very dark, inauspicious situations. But he just saw it didn't discourage him the slightest. Even though all of his friends, his well-wishers, his godbrothers in India, no one helped him at all. He was begging. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur factually funded, completely funded the devotees he sent to England and Germany. Sent them men to assist them, sent them money for their missions. Prabhupada was asking, I'm here on Guru Maharaj's mission. Give me some funding. Give me some help. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for your mission, Guru's mission. Nothing. Some people sent parakartals and some sweets. That's it. Seems inauspicious, does it not? But Prabhupada, because he saw the opportunity to serve in that situation, the heart attacks, the stroke, the poverty, nobody helping him, only endears people's hearts to him infinitely more than that they could have done any other way. Seeing the sacrifice of compassion that he made for us brings us a type of gratitude that we couldn't really appreciate if he didn't go through all of that. So Srila Prabhupada understood this art of making what's most inauspicious into most auspicious things simply by faith. Faith and devotion. Faith can overcome all obstacles. If we do not have faith, we can easily crumble down in our spiritual lives. But with faith, every situation only brings us higher and higher and higher. Prabhupada said once that Lord Ramchandra, he was going against Ravana, very powerful person, with a whole Rakshasa army to get Sita back. And all he had was an army of monkeys. Srila Prabhupada said, so we are also trying to bring Sita back to Ram. The whole world is like overcome by Ravana's influence. They're stealing Krishna's property, Krishna's Sita, Ram Sita away. So it is my mission, by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, to bring bhakti back to the world. And all Ramchandra has given me to help is all you monkeys. So we are very happy to be Prabhupada's monkeys. We have nothing to be proud of. The only pride we have, Prabhupada called us monkeys, so how can we become proud? But if we just remain faithful, then the current of His mercy can empower us to do inconceivable of feats of compassion within this world. So from Vena, Prithu Maharaj was born. And when the great Brahmins and sages began to offer prayers to Prithu and Archi, he stopped them. He said, why are you praising me? I haven't even done anything yet. I just took birth. Why should you give praise to someone who hasn't done anything? This is flattery. But because Vena was king, there was no yajnas, there was no pious activities going on. Therefore the earth planet was withholding all of her treasures. The citizens of the earth approached Maharaj Prithu. They were skinny due to starvation. They were crying out to Prithu Maharaj, we're starving. There's no food for our bellies. You are our king. You are our protector. Please save us. Prithu Maharaj understood that what they were speaking was true. It was a serious matter. It is the duty of a leader to be responsible and compassionate toward one's subjects. Just like it is the duty of the mother and father to provide physical, emotional, and spiritual nourishment to their children. And if they do not, they're sinful. It is irresponsible. It's sinful to be irresponsible. Guru na sasyat, swajani na sasyat. One has no right being a guru, a teacher, a parent, unless one can nourish the child or the dependents in such a way that they never have to take birth in this world again. If we take a position of leadership, even within our Krishna consciousness movement, we have responsibility for the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of every devotee who is under our care. It's a very grave and serious responsibility. We cannot neglect it, we cannot ignore it.
So Prithu Maharaj,
he looked at the earth.
There was no grains, fruits, vegetables.
His eyes became red with anger.
Anger is good when it is used in a spirit of compassion, when it is used in a spirit of service. When anger is triggered by frustrated mental and sensual desires, then anger is one of the three gates that lead to hell.
Trividam narakashedam dvaram nashanam atmana kama krodas tata lobas tasmat eta triyamche.
Three gates lead to hell: lust, anger, and greed.
But whatever is utilized in the service of Krishna becomes a great asset. And we find so many great souls used, they control their anger perfectly by using it constructively in the service of God and compassion toward others.
Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would become angry. But his anger was not born out of frustration, it was born out of compassion. He was angry deliberately for our benefit, to teach us good lessons, to make proper emphasis so that we will hear it and take it seriously.
Hanumanji became angry sometimes. He burned the city of Lanka down in anger.
But it was in a mood of compassion, it was a mood of devotion, it was perfectly controlled.
And in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, Krishna was trying to convince Arjuna to become angry and fight.
You can't fight without being angry.
It's not that someone's shooting arrows and you're just...
You have to be angry, like fire to fight in a war.
Do you ever see soldiers just going, Prabhu, Harivot?
You'll be destroyed.
When you're fighting in war, you, today I will send you to the abode of death. Today the jackals will eat your flesh.
That's the way Kshatriyas fight. That's the way Krishna fought.
Arivo. So they were angry. Arjuna was saying like that.
But he was angry for the right cause. His anger was perfectly controlled because he wasn't expressing this anger because of his own selfish, egoistic condition. It was a selfless, necessary service for the welfare of others.
So Prithu Maharaj, although a Shaktivesh avatar of Lord Vishnu, he became angry.
And he took his bow and arrow and pointed it to the earth.
But his anger was beautiful.
Usually it says that when somebody's angrier, it describes in scriptures that their eyes become like red hot coals.
But Prithu Maharaj's eyes were red like the rising sun. In Hawaii, you see these beautiful sunrises. The sun is beautiful, effulgent red color. It's beautiful.
Although red is the color of anger, it's the color of passion.
But when it decorates the eyes of the Lord, it's very beautiful.
Because it's not born of passion.
It's born of compassion. What do you want? And don't think you have to use calm to make passion into compassion. It's a different compassion. He looked at the earth, and he was staring at the earth. He was about to kill the earth planet. So the earth planet very intelligently took a form that is, by ordinary circumstances, illegal to cause harm to. She took the form of an innocent, beautiful, white cow. Now, one of the greatest abominable sins is cow slaughter. Srila Prabhupada explained, you can understand the spirituality of any particular society by how happy the cows are. In 1976, Prabhupada was at New Vrindavan. He was scheduled to stay 14 days. But New Vrindavan is such a place that the weather can be anything at any time. So even though it was the summer, it became freezing cold and started to rain. After about 4 days, Srila Prabhupada's secretary said, this weather is not agreeable to Srila Prabhupada, so he has decided to leave. So devotees at New Vrindavan were devastated. We were waiting for 2 years to see him and to serve him, and now he's leaving. Then just forget it. We'll just close down the community and start somewhere else where Prabhupada likes it. He was probably going to go to Hawaii also. Prabhupada loved Hawaii. He did so much translation and service there because it was so agreeable to his health. And for Prabhupada, his health meant he can do more service. Materialistic people are attached to their health because they can enjoy better when they have good health. But Prabhupada had no desire for enjoying. Every moment of his life was for the service of others. So for him, good health means he could render better service. So the leader of the community, Kirtanananda Maharaj, he approached Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, we have decided that if New Vrindavan is not good for your health, then we're just going to just shut down and just start a New Vrindavan somewhere else where you like to be, because we want you. So Prabhupada heard that, the appeal of the residents. We didn't ask him to stay. We were asking to leave. And actually, considering that was the summer and what it's like in the winter, we were thinking, actually, this is the time. This is an opportunity to move New Vrindavan to a nice climate. And what was Prabhupada's response? He said, your New Vrindavan community is perfect because you are protecting the cows and they are happy. Therefore, I will stay the whole 14 days. Very well. So the earth planet, she became an innocent female cow. She stood before Prithu. And Prithu just took his bow and arrow and said, I'm going to kill you. So then she became afraid and she started running away. And Prithu was running, and wherever she was running in outer space. And he was running right behind her. These are not ordinary beings. And when she saw there was no possible way of escaping, she turned to Prithu Maharaj and began to speak good arguments against his motivation to punish her. Said, "You are king. You are protector. And it is the duty of king to protect women and cows. And I'm a woman and I'm a cow, so I cannot be killed. It is said in the scriptures, if a woman or cow, even if she engages in sinful activities or abominable things, still she should not be killed. She should be protected. Good kingdom is where women and cows and old people and Brahmins and young children are protected. This is the responsibility of leadership. That those who are, for one reason or another, in a helpless condition, they must be protected. Those who are in positions where they can easily be exploited by others, they must be protected. Therefore, anyone who takes leadership position, it is their duty to do everything possible to protect the cows, those who are aged, those who are children, women, and Brahmins. Where these five sets of personalities are protected and happy, that is the sign of a healthy culture. Many years ago, when I was preaching in the colleges of America, we were at one university, and there was many professors, hundreds of students. It was in a big auditorium, and we gave a lecture on Bhagavad Gita philosophy. We would begin by first having kirtan, always the same format. First we'd have kirtan with mridanga karatals and have the maha mantra written on the blackboard. We teach them. We try to teach them. And if you write something on the blackboard, they take it seriously. They're conditioned like that. If you just bring a sign and say, do this, they'll say, what are they bringing this sign for? But I'm going to teach you something. All right, yes. And you say, you write on the blackboard. Now repeat after this. If it's on the blackboard, they will repeat. They're conditioned. So everyone would be chanting, clapping hands, and we'd be singing. And then we'd give lecture. Then there'd be questions and answers, then distribution of prasad, and then some, give everyone a book. We'd have a book table. This was in, every single program was like this, in the colleges itself. But on certain occasions, we would bring children. Whenever we could, we would bring children. So on this one occasion, in this big auditorium with so many students and so many professors, we had these children recite Brahma Samhita. Radha Gopinath ki jai. And after the lecture, some of the professors came up to me, and they didn't really care what I said. They said, "Yes, you know, you're a grown man and you're speaking philosophy, very good, very good. But really impressed us is your children. We could see your children are happy. You could see your children really like your culture. They were chanting these songs with so much happiness and joy and conviction. I can understand that your movement has a great future because you're protecting your children. They're happy, they're stable. This I take seriously." So this is responsibility. So she was presenting these arguments to Prithu Maharaj. You're king, you're leader, I'm cow, I'm lady. Haribo, you must protect me, not kill me. And Prithu Maharaj said, I know the scriptures too. He didn't say that, but in other words he said, you are not showing compassion, therefore you must be punished. If you get, you must give. That is the law of nature. Otherwise, you're sinful. According to the scriptures, the main duty of a grihastha is charity. Of course, putting Krishna in the center is the universal principle, which is the all-important. But as far as one's domestic duties are concerned as a grihastha, charity is what is stressed the most. Devotees in America were quite surprised when Prabhupada cited from the scriptures that before Grihastha eats his meal, first he goes to his door and calls out, anyone hungry, come to my home and eat. Then he has like a food for life at his house. He distributes prasad. Then after, he eats. Now, not too many people are able... In America, if you do that, the police will come and they'll think you're crazy. It's just, what? Crying out of your house like that. Nobody does that. It would be considered strange. And in India, if you do it, there'll never be anything left for you and your family. So somehow or other, nobody follows that rule anymore. But the principle of giving, being charitable, if you get, you must give. Now, the egoistic mentality is that I have earned because of my hard work, because of my labor, because of my karma, everything is happening. But a virtuous person does not think like that. No matter how hard we work, no matter what arrangements we make, ultimately we understand whatever comes is the grace of God. You may work hard, and you may make some money, and you may buy some rice and vegetables, and you're thinking, I deserve it. But the fact is, did you create the rain? Did you create the earth? Did you create the rice seeds and the vegetable seeds? And all together, the rain nourishing the earth and the seeds growing into grains, that's all happening by the grace of God. Everything we get is a gift of God, ultimately. And if we have, it's our duty to share. If not, we become kripana, miserly. And that miserly mentality creates a hard heart. The essential virtue of human existence is compassion. To the degree people are compassionate, to that degree society flourishes spiritually. Compassionate to the body, to the mind, and to the soul. So Prithu Maharaj told Mother Earth that you're eating grass. Ah, your cow, you eat grass. I have seen. Therefore, it's your duty, if you eat the grass, to give milk to others. If God gives to you, then you must give to others. People have done yajna. The Brahmins have done yajna for, and you have accepted. You have accepted the results of their yajna. It is your duty to give back according to your capacity. This is what Srila Prabhupada taught us. Try to understand with depth what Prabhupada's intentions were. When devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, how could we repay you for this matchless gift of pure devotional service that you have offered us in our life? We had no qualification. We are undeserving. But you gave us Krishna consciousness. How can we repay you? Prabhupada's reply was for our good and for the good of the world. Profound answer. He said, what I have given you, give to others. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told Srila Prabhupada in 1922 when he first met him at Ultadunga Junction Road in Calcutta. He said, you are an intelligent young man. Give the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the world in the English language. And then you will benefit and all others will benefit. If we receive, but we do not give what we receive for the welfare of those who are in need, then we will not benefit properly. It is our responsibility, and we gain the greatest benefit by sharing what we have. Prabhupada nourished us with spiritual knowledge. Therefore, he wanted us to preach. The more we preach, the more we benefit, because we're following the principle of compassion. You have received, you must share it with others. You have benefited, you must live for the benefit of others. That's human virtue. That's a spiritual principle. If we have wealth in terms of money, then it's our duty to be charitable with it. Then we benefit and others benefit. If we're wealthy in knowledge and realization, then it's our duty to share it. Then we benefit and others benefit. So when Srila Prabhupada asked us to distribute books, to preach, to do Harinam Sankirtan, to do food for life, and so many other ways, if we're even assisting others who are preaching, then we are preaching. In whatever way we can help, we should help. That is our benefit. Rupa Goswami said, if you give something to Krishna, don't think you have that much less. You should understand whatever you give to Krishna, you have infinitely more. Because you receive his blessings, you receive his mercy, which is the ultimate wealth. So Prithu Maharaj preached in this way to Mother Earth, that you have been given so much, if you're not compassionate, if you're not living for the welfare of other living beings, then you are sinful and you are liable for my punishment. So Mother Earth surrendered in the form of a cow. She said, everything you speak is perfect. But actually, so many sins have been going on me and I have been exploited. Because of Maharaj Vena and all the way the world was living under his regime, I was being exploited like anything. Therefore, I have withheld my gifts. Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard,
that when we exploit our mother, Earth, then she reacts. We're drilling her oils. If we use the oil for those things that are beneficial to human society, then she's happy to give it. But when we use it with the motivation of greed and pride, we're taking the gifts of the earth to use for our own egoistic purposes. Who is the earth? Bhumi. Bhumi is the consort of Vishnu. For those of you who have gone to Tirumala, Tirupati, the tradition is before you go to see Venkateshwar, first you offer your obeisances to the temple of Bhuvaraha. Lord Varaha had lifted the earth in his tusks and accepted her as his consort. Bhudevi is an expansion of the goddess of fortune. That's the earth planet. The goddess presiding over the earth. The consort of the Lord, whatever she creates is for the service of the Lord. When we live in harmony with the earth's desire, by following Krishna's instructions and using her gifts to create a society of loving Krishna, then the earth gives so much. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam about the days of Yudhisthira or the days of these great kings. All the necessities of life were profusely available to everyone because the earth was pleased. But in this age of Kali Yuga, because of so much exploitation of the earth, we find hurricanes and cyclones and floods and droughts and diseases, their reactions. So Mother Earth explained, this was why. But because you are the Supreme Lord, I want to please you. Therefore, I'm in the form of a cow. If there's a calf, that calf will attract me to give my milk. And I'll provide anything you want if you provide an appropriate calf so that you can milk me. So Prithu Maharaj called all different segments of living beings. And first Prithu Maharaj, by his mystic powers, he transformed Swayambhuva Manu into a calf. Arivo. And the earth planet. The earth planet provided herbs and grains and all kinds of wonderful food stuff for the people in general. Because this was Prithu Maharaj's ambition. He wanted nothing for himself. He wanted to help the people in general who were suffering. And then, Prithu Maharaj invited all others to come forward. So the great sages, they transformed Brihaspati into calf. And the earth planet provided for them. They made their senses into a pot. And the milk of Vedic knowledge to purify words, mind, and hearing were supplied by her. And in this particular verse that we are reading today, the demigods made Indra into calf. And he came before Bhumi and attracted her to let down her milk.
And she provided somaras. That's what the demigods like.
Now in the next verse we find that the sons of Diti, the demons, they made Prahlad into a calf, because Prahlad is a descendant of their line. And he's the most dear. And do you know what milk she gave to them? The milk of intoxicating liquor and beer.
That's what it says.
Prabhupada says beer. I don't know if there's a Sanskrit for beer. Beer in Sanskrit, bira, means strength. Beer Krishna. But this is another type of beer. This is... this is significant. Because people have a great need to be intoxicated. Yes? How many people in this world take intoxications? Especially in the age of Kali. Different classes of people become intoxicated by different methods. Those who are inclined toward the mode of ignorance, they become intoxicated with drugs, heroin, opium, cocaine, and now there's this crack and what else? Angel dust, all kinds of more sophisticated intoxications. And drinking liquor is so fashionable now. Even in high societies, people drink liquors. Even in religious events, they drink different types of wines and other... So intoxication is very, very much for those who are leaning toward the mode of ignorance. And when people are frustrated, they take shelter of intoxication. That's how people become drug addicts and alcoholics, because they get a taste for these things and they start feeling nice. Like this. No harm, I feel nice. And your parents say, don't do that. Say, no, I feel nice, it's very good. But then when you become frustrated, you start take shelter of that niceness. And then you become addicted. Then you become a slave of that intoxication, and it destroys life. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, everything. Finished. Now, for the demigods, they also like intoxication. But their intoxication is soma. Soma is not in the mode of ignorance. Soma is very much nice. It doesn't derange you. It doesn't bring down, it actually elevates your consciousness. It actually elevates your mental, your sensory inclinations and capacity. People don't drink soma and go out and start beating up people and killing people. When you take soma, it nourishes your virtuous nature. So it's very nice intoxication. From that point of view. And other people in this world, they look for intoxication of success. Have you ever seen anyone who's actually intoxicated with false pride and false ego? They can't see that everyone around them just thinks that they're deranged. They're just so intoxicated. They just can't see the world as it is. People become intoxicated by pride. They become intoxicated by lust. They become intoxicated with greed. That's what gambling is about. Gambling is an intoxication. It just brings out greed. Money, money, money. I'll get more money. I'll get quick money. And you're losing it all. Yeah. I know one person who lost $250,000 in a racetrack in one day. Maribo. So much for the horses. Can you imagine working so hard, putting your faith in some horse running fast? I mean, if you think of it logically, it's really crazy. You work so hard for your money, and then you're thinking that I'm going to invest it all in my faith that this horse will run fast. Why not put your faith in God instead of horses? Or people go to these casinos. They're becoming very, very popular. In America, places where the economy was plunging down, they open a casino and it starts to flourish. You know what casino is? Casino is a place of gambling. All different methods. And there's always newer and also very sacred traditional forms of gambling. And people just become intoxicated. And other people who are in business, they become intoxicated with the greed and the pursuit of money. And when it starts coming in, oh, so intoxication. They don't even have time to chant their rounds. They're so busy in the intoxication of making money. That's for devotees. We have to be very aware. Prestige. Anything that gives you pleasure in this world can intoxicate you and make you lose your intelligence, lose your discrimination. But ultimately, we see that the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were intoxicated. Who was the most intoxicated person? Huh? Everyone very loudly, please. Nityananda Prabhu. He was avadut because he was so intoxicated. But what was his intoxication? His intoxication was to always be chanting the name of the Lord and to give to others. That was the mood of all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. To just fill themselves with the intoxicating nectar of the holy names by loudly chanting.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
And then distributing the holy name everywhere. Nityananda Prabhu was really like a drunkard, just loudly chanting the holy names, going home to home, marketplace to marketplace, bathing ghat to bathing ghat, bathing, begging people, please take the name of Krishna. This is the order of my Lord. Chant the names of Krishna, worship Krishna, speak here about Krishna. Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, Krishna is your real treasure, your real wealth, Krishna is your life and soul. Everyone chant the holy names of Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Then he was so intoxicated, he went right up to Jagayan Madhai. Now, they were intoxicated with this other kind of liquor we were talking about. They were drunk. And what the result of their drunkenness? They were so intoxicated that they just became like madmen. They were burning people's houses down. They were raping people. They were beating old women. They were murdering people. They were robbing from people. That was the influence of their intoxication. Now, Nityananda Prabhu was influenced by another type of intoxication. He was influenced by love and compassion.
And when he approached Jagai and Madhai, first he asked, who are these people?
They were so drunk, they were pulling each other's hair, they were kicking each other, they were poking each other's eyes, they were scratching each other and screaming all. Practically every word out of their mouth was obscene.
Haribo. So Nityananda and Haridas, who are these people?
That's Jagai and Madhai.
They used to be nice Brahmins. They were born of Brahmin family, but due to bad association and intoxication, they are so cruel. They went through the whole list of their sins. Nityananda Prabhu smiled.
Ah, very nice.
He turned to Haridas and said, if we make these people devotees, the whole world will glorify our Lord and Master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he went and told them, my dear brothers, chant the names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Hear about Krishna. Krishna's your mother, your father. Krishna's your treasure. Krishna's your very life and soul. Chant the holy names. They were so angry.
It was an insult for people so impious. To tell them to be pious is an insult.
So they attacked Haridas Thakur and Nityananda to kill them.
And Haridas and Nityananda were running away, and Jagai and Madhai were running after, and they were running, and they were running. Everyone was running.
And people, the local people were looking and said, they just yelled out to Nityananda and Haridas, you deserve to die. Why didn't you take my advice? You go to Jagai and Madhai, these terrible murderers, and tell them to become devotees and chant God's name? You're crazy.
So Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas were running really fast.
Jagai and Madhai were calling out behind, stop, stop! We want to speak to you! Haridas Thakur turned to Lord Nityananda Prabhu and said, actually, first Nityananda turned to Haridas and said, you should save us. Because you were beaten in those 22 marketplaces, and the Lord saved you even from that, so you should pray to the Lord to save you again. And Haridas Thakur said, you're crazy. The Lord saved me when I was beaten in the 22 marketplaces, but you went up and you asked these two great sinners and demons to chant the names of Krishna. I think due to my association with you, today I will be killed. And then Haridas laughed. And then Lord Nityananda laughed. Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, why are you blaming me? Why blame me? It's not me, it's our master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the one who ordered us to give the holy name to everyone and anyone without discrimination. He said, even go to the lowest of all people and give them the holy name of Krishna. There has never been anyone in all the history of the world who has given such an order as that. We're just following his order. I'm not crazy. He's crazy. And they were laughing and joking, and Jagai and Madhai were angry. But because they drank so much liquor and used to personally slaughter cows and eat their flesh, so they were fat, so they couldn't run so fast. So Jagai and Madhai, they wanted so much to kill Nityananda and Haridas when they wouldn't catch them, just to dovetail their propensities, they started beating up each other. So, when they got back to Srivas Thakur's abode, every day they would give their report to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was amazed to hear that they tried to give Jagai and Madhai the holy name. And then Haridasa Thakur, he took Advaitacharya aside, because they were old friends,
very old friends. So to old friends like this, you could really reveal your mind. So he revealed his mind to Lord Advaita. He said, this Sankirtan party, this my partner, very difficult, just Nityananda Prabhu. I'm out preaching with him. Do you know what he does? Do you know what trouble he causes me? He'll go up to a cow that belongs to someone else and drink its milk. Just directly drink its milk, and then the cowhead man will come when the cow is dry, and Nityananda will run away, and he'll come to beat me. And then he'll see some nice young girl and say, please marry me. And then she'll run home and tell her parents, and then he'll come out and Nityananda will be gone and I'll be there. Sometimes in the monsoon infested waters of the Ganga, he'll jump on a crocodile's back. And I'll be crying, come back, come back, come back. And he'll simply laugh at me. And today, he went up to these two most sinful, murderous drunkards, Jagai and Madhai, who are totally intoxicated with liquors and cruel, and asked them to chant Hare Krishna, and they attacked us to kill us. Advaita started laughing. He said, why are you surprised? Intoxicated people like to associate with other intoxicated people. Nityananda Prabhu is intoxicated with the ecstasy of pure love of God. He is intoxicated with the spirit of compassion to give love of Krishna to everyone and anyone without discrimination. That is his intoxicated state. So it is no surprise that he likes to associate with other intoxicated people. But you will see within one or two days, Jagai and Madhai will be dancing in ecstasy of love of God, intoxicated with Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And they will be dancing amongst us in kirtan, loudly chanting the Holy This is the eternal nature of the soul, to be intoxicated with love of God. And it was this gift that Srila Prabhupada has come to give us. It is this gift that Srimad Bhagavatam reveals in every page. The intoxication of the somaras is temporary. For a devotee, even if he's offered grand quantities of somaras, he will say, no thank you. I have the holy name. I have the Srimad Bhagavatam. I have the association of the devotees. I have the darshan of Sri Radha Gopinath. I have service to render. That is the highest, highest pleasure, highest intoxication. So just keep drinking from the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and become more and more and more intoxicated with pure unalloyed devotion. And share that great treasure that will be for our benefit and the benefit for all others. Srila Prabhupada ki. I'm sorry I talk too much, but
Thank you for tolerating me. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.